Well, we are continuing this series of Nehemiah. We've heard a lot about Nehemiah, but what I will say is that Nehemiah chapter 6 is quite revealing. There's a lot in Nehemiah chapter 6 which is very, very relevant to our modern day. So bear with me. So I once knew a lady, and she was the kind of person that would never speak ill of anyone. No matter what it was, she would always say something positive about every individual. And interestingly, I was listening in on a conversation, and a friend of hers said to her, "You would even say something good of the devil, you would." And the lady paused for a moment and she said, "Well, you do have to admire his determination, don't you?" I don't want to say anything positive about the enemy, because I know what the enemy's aim is. And the reason why he is determined is because he too has a vision. He has a certain focus. He's one-minded, one-hearted on this thing, and that is namely to oppose the kingdom of God. That is what he's out to do. And he will do that at any cost and use any strategy and any tactics that he can to oppose the kingdom of God and those that support it and work for it. And Nehemiah 6 is a valuable lesson in helping us to just see what some of those tactics are that he uses, because if they work, he will use them today, and he does. We can see they're evident. And also to see how we should respond when those attacks come our way. Because the thing is with the enemy, we cannot stop his attacks. There's nothing we can do. It's how we respond. That's the key as to whether we are victorious and successful. So, thank you, Simon. So here we go. This is how it starts off. There are some attacks going on here. We'll break them down as we go through. It says, "When word came to Sanballat and Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of the enemies that had rebuilt the wall, and not a gap was left in it, though up until that time I had not set the doors in the gates. Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message: 'Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono.' But they were scheming to harm me. So I sent messengers to them with this reply: 'I am carrying on a great project, and I cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you?' 4 times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer." So here we have the situation now. We've been going through Nehemiah for several weeks, that the enemies are determined to stop this wall. But now all the masonry is completed. The only thing that remains now is that the doors or the gates are not in place. Now, a wall with no gates is no wall at all, but they're on the very final stages. All these attempts of ridicule and military force and everything that's come against them that has not stopped them. The wall has just got higher and higher and higher. And now, as far as the enemy is concerned, it's now or never. If we do not stop this now, this wall will be completed. It's only moments away. And here is where the enemy comes in. Because what he does, he tries to distract Nehemiah. And he sends him these letters saying, and they seem quite plausible, really, these invitations. "Come on down, meet with us. Let's have lunch together and let's just talk about things." But Nehemiah discerned this is a plot to get me off site to stop the completion of the wall. So Nehemiah's response, this happened 4 times, and 4 times he gave exactly the same response. He said, "I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down to you." And he said that each time. "No more. I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down." He knew what they were doing. But then it gets real sinister. Nothing seems to be distracting him. He's so focused on this wall. So the next one is 5 through 9. See if you can see what's happening now. It says, then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his assistant to me with the same message, and in his hand was an unsealed letter in which it was written. This is the contents of the letter now to Nehemiah. It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you're building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king. And I have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king. So come, let us confer together. I sent them this reply. Nothing like what you're saying is happening. It's just, you're just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. It actually goes on to say that at that point he said, God, strengthen our hands. Because when you think about it here, there's a lot going on. That the enemy is clever. It's an unsealed letter. All the other letters were sealed. They're always sealed. In biblical times, they put them in clay jars. And therefore, only the recipient would read it. All those en route wouldn't have a chance to look at it. This was an unsealed letter. So everyone en route could see this. That was the aim. There was a rumor that was now being started. And the rumor was, we've heard that you're planning a revolt. That the Jews are going to revolt. We've heard that you're plotting to become the king. Surely King Artaxerxes is going to get to know about this. This was the content of the letter. It was intimidation, fear, and lies. And so they say, come on down, have lunch with us, and we can sort this out. Let's sort this out, and let's get it all ironed out. Nehemiah knew this again was a ploy to get him off the wall so they wouldn't complete it. And therefore, he said the same thing. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Absolute focus on, because you put yourself in that position. Someone's spreading rumors about you, and they're just simply not true. See, Nehemiah, all he said was, you're making it up in your head. Actually, there's no truth in this whatsoever, but he didn't go through a point-by-point defense saying, this is not true because of this. No, you're making it up in your head, and I'm not coming down. Now, I think I would have been tempted with all those lies to say, right, let's meet up, let's get this ironed out. But he wouldn't do that. He was too focused on that. So let's just put a modern-day application on this. The enemy still uses the same tactics. If you are a leader, you've definitely got a target on your back. And the fact is, God uses imperfect people. And yes, it's right that the congregation expects leaders to have a godly standing in the congregation. Absolutely, that is scriptural, but not perfection. And sometimes, if we expect perfection from any church leadership, we're going to set ourselves up for disappointment. We're going to set ourselves up for frustration because they're not going to live up to that. And God has always, always used imperfect people. And that is the case today. And that's what I'm saying there. Just, we need to be realistic about that. You see, what can happen? How can leaders be neutralized? What can the enemy do to neutralize leaders? Well, there's several things he can do. He can attack the very thing that they are passionate about. Satan knows our hot buttons. If there's something that we, and this applies to all of us, if there's something that we are really striving to honor God with, that we really take a pride in, that we honor God with this, and somebody says that you don't do that, or you do the opposite to that, then that hurts. And that's really what was happening with Nehemiah there. You're planning to become king. No wonder you're building this wall. You've got a hidden agenda here. And actually, it probably angered him, but his response is something that we can learn from. Now, I was once in a congregation, and I hasten to add it's not this congregation, in a church, and I heard some mature Christians, and they were just saying, talking about church life, and they said, our minister, he's a good guy, but he's not spirit-filled. hurt. I was hurt for him. I know the guy. He is such a self-sacrificing, godly guy. That is just hurtful. Sometimes we hear, and I'm not referring to this congregation, but sometimes we hear reports of, oh yeah, that leader, he's a good guy, but he's not pastoral. You know, he's not really a people's person. You know, now they don't know behind the scenes that actually this guy has a list of people in the congregation that he prays for on a regular basis. They don't know behind the scenes that this guy sits with people sharing their pain and praying with them. And yet, a comment like that can really neutralize a leader. And the thing is, Satan does use those tactics. He really does. And I'm not against Facebook, and this is not a rant about Facebook, because I don't do it personally, but I'm not against it, and I think it can be used in a great way. But I have seen instances where one bit of careless talk through the keyboard about someone in the congregation, not necessarily leaders, any one of us, can actually... one little comment is like a virus that spreads from person to person to person. Satan will use that if he can. He'll use whatever he's got at his disposal. And it gets more malicious as it gets along the way until people, individuals are hurt. And I've seen that happen. And again, it's something that we need to be aware of. And the thing I want to say and stress throughout this is that we cannot stop the attacks from the enemy. It's our response that's the key. That is where the victory is. Not stopping the attacks, but how we respond to them. We need the Nehemiah-like determination. There is a slide here determination. I kind of put it in a succinct way here. Determination equals when your purpose outweighs your pain. And that was the case with Nehemiah. His purpose was greater than the pain of all the lies and all the deceit and all the rumors. His purpose was greater than that pain, and so he stuck with it. And that is really the same for us today. I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down. Well, we've spoken about leaders, but it's also so applicable to each and every one of us as well. We all, at times, have a specific wall that we are building, that we need to work on. I don't want to be too specific. However, we have a list. I've just thrown a few up here because we all know what our individual walls are. It could be some of those. It may not be some of those. I can look at that and I can say, I've got one of those walls in my life right now. Now I've got two. Now I've got them all. But let's just think about these. One thing that's specific to us that we're working on, and we're getting little niggles, and the enemy is just trying to come and get us off this wall. A habit that we need to break. It could be an internet habit. It could be maybe that we have a drink habit that is just getting out of proportion. I remember my brother is an alcoholic, and he's a very sociable guy and a very successful businessman, and he decided the time has come where this is interfering with my life, my work. I've got to do something about this. And there was one occasion where he was socializing, and he decided to drink Diet Coke that evening. And some of the comments that came forward were, Mark, you're not drinking tonight, and you're so different. Actually, you're quite boring. And actually, you're not as much fun, really, when you don't drink. Now, you can imagine that is very, very difficult. The enemy will use these kind of comments, whatever our wall is. Take another one, a relationship we must restore. Now, it could be that we have a relationship issue with someone in the congregation, and we know that God's put it on our heart. We know that our conscience is telling us that needs to be restored because it's not doing anybody any good, and we just need to get that right. And, expect, if we make that our wall and we are going to build it and complete it, we say, in 6 months' time, I want this to be behind me. or this time next year, I want this to be resolved. It could be within the marriage. It could be that we find that our marriage is just going further and further and further apart. And we know that the trend is there. And we've tried and we've prayed, and yet the division is getting greater and greater. And we've had distractions that have come along. And therefore, we've not finished the wall. It's left uncompleted. And that is where the Nehemiah determination comes in, where we have to say, no matter what little comments and snide comments and little rumors are circulated around, we have to say, I'm doing a great work, and I will not come down. That was the key to the success with Nehemiah. A relationship that must end. That's a good one, isn't it? You know, my heart goes out to our young ones, because our young ones go off to university and they are bombarded with things that are not of God. And we know when we're in a relationship which is not of God. We know when we're in a relationship which will have consequences. And our conscience tells us that we shouldn't be in that relationship. And actually, we just get distracted. In fact, if someone was to say, well, I'm going to end this relationship and it's going to cost me, there's going to be pain here, we could get negative comments like, how could you do that to that person? Their parents are so annoyed, they're so angry with you, they think you are just a... Nehemiah. It's worth fridge magnet status, isn't it, this little scripture? It's Nehemiah 6:3. I'm doing a great work and I cannot come down. We have to complete it, even though we get all these enemy attacks. We've all got one thing that's individual to us. I'm sure if we sat down over a coffee, we probably, all of us, could say, yes, I've got one thing that I need to personally deal with. God puts it on our heart, doesn't he? Or our conscience just tells us that we need to deal with that. It's difficult, isn't it? If it wasn't difficult, we wouldn't have to speak about it. If it wasn't difficult, the enemy wouldn't even try to attack. He wouldn't be bothered about it. He'd just let us get on with it. But when we try, we can, usually without exception, expect some kind of enemy attack to come on us. Now, if we say, well, yes, I have got a wall in my life which I've not completed, and I know I have to. When we walk out of these doors this morning, nothing will have changed. The only thing that can change is us. It is. And yes, we can rely on God for prayer. That's what Nehemiah did. We didn't actually have the scripture up, but he said at that point, God, strengthen my hand. He must have really felt enormous pressure at that time. But it was accompanied with that determination, that focus. He just said, this wall is going to be completed. And that is exactly the same with us, isn't it? The enemy will try to sabotage our walk with God at any cost. And our determination needs to be as great as his determination as well. Let me just put up this next scripture. Fantastic. We all like a happy ending. Just look at this for an ending. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Isn't that just a wonderful ending to all those days of attacks? And he just relied on God. Ultimately, a bit like with Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ didn't go through a point-by-point-by-point defense. All the accusations that came, the truth was seen in the result and the actions. Surely this is God's son. Surely this wall was built by means of God, accompanied with that determination and accompanied with that focus. So what I would like to say this morning is to you that if you identify a wall, yes, we have a church vision that we're working on, and that is a wall. And we want to complete that amid difficulties that we get. But if there is a wall in your life, Just think about that. To be able to say, this time in 6 months, I want this to be completed. It's hung about for far too long. And whatever I hear, I will just say this. Put it on the wall. I'm doing a great work. And I cannot afford to come down. And prayer is an important part of that. And I need to approach someone in prayer sometime today and say, I've got a wall and I'm getting distracted and I need someone to pray with. I need God's help in this. And maybe, can I invite you to do the same? Find someone that you feel comfortable with and just say, can I pray with you that this can be completed and I can put it behind me? And we have a prayer ministry team here who would just love to be able to do that with you. So, as I said, the book of Nehemiah is so up to date, isn't it? The enemy uses the same tactics. We cannot stop them. We cannot stop them, but we can be victorious. We've got Christ and the Spirit living within us. We can be victorious if we stay focused and determined, more determined than the enemy, really. And that's our key to victory and success. So thank you for listening to me. Valuable lessons from Nehemiah. So we'll hand back to Andy.
Thanks, Steve.